Good morning, Harmony Church. It's so good to see you this morning. If you would, with me just for a second, would you stand up? And I'm just going to pray to open us up, and we're going to sing a few songs. God, thank you so much for your grace, your mercy. Thank you so much that your love is ever expanding. Thank you that we are always welcome in your presence. Thank you that we have this opportunity to give our love to you and to receive your love for us. We just ask that as we sing these songs, that you would be glorified. We love you in Jesus' name.
Cry, holy is the Lord.
God, you are the lover of our soul. Hallelujah. With all of him, we are singing. Oh, with all of him, we are singing. God, we thank you that we could stand here and we can sing with all of heaven. We love you, God. This is a house of worship, and this is a place of praise, where every demon trembles, and where we proclaim your name. This is a house of healing. This is a house of healing, and our hearts are full of faith, and you have our full attention, and you have the final say. Feet of Jesus. one more time, say, come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles, and we bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus.
Everyone, welcome to Harmony. Yes. So here we are on another beautiful day, a nice cool day. Yes, enjoying the gift of this great weather and the joy of being each other's presence and together worshiping God, who we love and who loves us unconditionally. So I'm Pastor Mark, and thank you for being here in person, connecting with Harmony Toluca Lake, as well as those that are online. We are grateful to have you here and here. On the screen, you see that we are also glad that you've connected with us. That's a QR code that you see, and it's a way, an opportunity for you to check in, see what's happening here over here at Harmony, keep you in the know, because you're important to God, but you're also important to us. A couple announcements to share. So this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., we're going to Tree People. So Tree People is an awesome, great place. It's a fun service project that we'll be able to do for 3 hours. We need you. And so this is a way for us to give back to the community, to serve the community and this earth by taking personal responsibility for the urban environment in which we live. And there's something for everyone. You can clean, you can plant, you can water. It's not that hard, and all are welcome. But we need you to RSVP by tomorrow. Please, by tomorrow. For more information, see Jace, J-A-S-E, or email Jace at J-A-S-E-Y at HollywoodUMC.org. So, Holy Week. Wow, it's sort of crazy. It's coming already. It's like, woo! April the 10th, that's next Sunday, is Palm Sunday. And so we're going to start this off, and we're going to have special music by Gaddison and the worship band. Yeah. But also, we're going to have a very moving conclusion of the worship service with a reader's theater moment. And so then on April the 14th, we're going to have Maundy Thursday service. That's at 7 p.m. here in person. This is an in-person only worship experience. So it is here. It'll have a different setup in the sanctuary. This is for both campuses. And what this is a time in which we remember the events leading up to Jesus's crucifixion and what follows after, and being reminded of Jesus's command to love and serve one another. Then on Friday, the next day, which is Good Friday, I will be here. The sanctuary will be open from 12 to 3. And this is a time of reflection, for our faith community, focusing on Jesus who is dying on the cross. Well, what did that mean, and where is this going to lead us, and what's the results happening of such a horrible, horrible event? And I will have a self-guided meditation that ties into our Good Enough series for you here at the campus. And then on April 17th, Easter Sunday celebration, and yes, Jesus is alive. And so there, we'll have the 10:30 a.m. worship service. It will only be 1 hour worship service, because immediately following worship service at 11:30, we're going to have fun activities, a photo booth, and then at 12 o'clock is an Easter egg hunt, scavenger hunt as well. Yeah, so not to be missed. All right, so following this morning's worship service, for those who would like to do so, I was praying about this while I was in Texas, because something happened last Sunday night at the Academy Awards, and so I thought, and you talk about planning for my sermon when I said, when things don't go as planned. And so for those that would like to have a conversation afterwards, 30 minutes, we will do so after worship service and just chat about what occurred and how can we be better. And if you haven't already done so, Harmony and Hollywood are collecting signatures on ballot initiatives for those who are needing housing, affordable housing. And so that will be at also at the hospitality table afterwards. And so with that, all of this, we want to extend thanks. We want to extend our thanks and gratitude to everyone who's participating in the morning worship service each and every Sunday. And so this morning we want to start off, and give a shout out to our new production coordinator, Donna Miller. Yes, Donna. Woohoo! So, yes, and then we've got that great production team. We got the greeting team members. We got Gaddison and the worship band. Also, we want to thank Julia Walker, who's going to be joining us via a recording, as well as Rev. Dave Bungie, who will lead us in the sacrament of Holy Communion, and to Jace Lucas, who is now going to share a children's moment recording with us.
About another fruit of the Spirit. And today's fruit is called Hello, my friends, and welcome back to Harmony. Before we head to Harmony Kids today, we're going to talk about another fruit of the Spirit. And today's fruit is called kindness. In Big Church today, our parents are going to be learning about two sisters, Mary and Martha. Now, Mary and Martha were sisters who were also friends of Jesus. And during Jesus' life, they wanted to show him kindness. So Mary took a jar of very expensive perfume and she put it on Jesus to show him how much she respected him. And this was a way that she showed Jesus kindness. Let's think of some ways that we can show kindness to other people. Maybe it means if someone falls down at recess at school, we stop playing and help to see if they need help getting up. That is showing them kindness. Maybe it means if we grab a toy at the same time as our brothers or sisters, we let them play with it and wait our turn. That is showing them kindness. Maybe it means that after dinner time, we offer to wash the dishes so that our parents don't have to. That is showing them kindness. When we treat other people the way that we want to be treated, we show them kindness. Now we invite all of our friends who are 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 years old to join us in the back of the sanctuary at the side entrance, and we will head over to Harmony Kids.
There's Jace, right there. Yes, wonderful. All right. So this morning I am going to be giving what we call the Joy Box. Woo! And so very briefly, because it's really going to tie more so into this morning's message. So I'm just going to be very brief that we want to give and attend and be ourselves with our prayers and our presence, our gifts, our witness, and our service. And you've already heard one way of giving of service, tree people, right? Giving of service, participating in worship. Prayers are so important. We have the prayer wall here in which people post their prayers, and the prayer team lifts those up each and every day. We are caring for one another in this broken and hurting world. Just showing up is so important, right? Gifts can be given in so many different ways. I myself, I tithe 10% of what I receive each year, giving to the church for the ministries of this church. It's important to me, but it's not just me. This is what has been given to me, that God gave me this, and I am just giving it back as a gift of thanks. This church means so much to me, more so God, but I am just so ecstatic for programming like Harmony Kids. The children mean so much here to all of us, and so we want to lift up those ministries in every way that we can with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And one of those ways, again, is by scanning to give. That's a QR code. We have text to give, text 84321, or go to the website, the church website at hollywoodumc.org. Many ways, and also we have the Joy Box in the back in which you can put money, gifts, checks. And so we give thanks for everything that you do and that you are and that you give this day and always. Amen. Amen. All right, so let us receive the scripture reading up and hold on. Yes, there we go. Awesome.
Good morning. A reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. The translation is from the Common English Bible. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, home of Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Lazarus and his sisters hosted a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who joined him at the table. Then Mary took an extraordinary amount, almost 3/4 of a pound, of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She anointed Jesus' feet with it, then wiped his feet dry with her hair. The house was filled with the aroma of perfume. Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, complained. This perfume was worth a year's wages. Why wasn't it sold and the money given to the poor? He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He carried the money bag and he would take what was in it. Then Jesus said, "Leave her alone. This perfume was to be used in preparation for my burial, and this is how she's used it. You will always have the poor among you, but you won't always have me." Many Jews learned that he was there. They came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he'd raised from the dead. The chief priests decided that they would kill Lazarus too. It was because of Lazarus that many Jews had deserted them and come to believe in Jesus. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Thanks be to God. Amen.
stairs shine like the sun in all of its brilliance. The Lord of glory, the Lord above all things. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you you've done for me. Oh Lord, Lord, we sing, worthy is the Lamb slain, and worthy is the King who conquered the grave, and worthy is the Lamb slain, and worthy is the King who conquered the grave, and worthy is the Lamb slain. For me, all that you've done for me, all that you've done for me, yeah. All that you've done for me, all that you've done for me.
As you know, we have been digging deep into this season of Lent with a sermon series that has been titled Good Enough, Embracing the Imperfections of Life and Faith. And we're affirming a faith in which we are blessed regardless. And I've said this pretty much every Sunday, and I will continue to, and it bears repeating, that we've got to take this in and holistically implement this. That we have got to stop climbing ladders and staircases. We need to be taking the time to tend to our souls slowly and more lovingly. That we need to fill and to till that soil and spread the fertilizer while also embracing our holy, good enough lives. So this morning's message is based off of a scripture passage. I'm centering it there, and I'm sharing this off of what Julia Walker shared in the scripture reading from John 12, verses 1 through 11. And this week, I was in Texas for a few days, and I was reflecting on this passage, and I was taking it in, and it was like this to me. I was going, man, it's got a lot going on. There is a lot going on. In fact, it seems like it's a reality show. So bear with me. So the setting is in the home of Lazarus, right? Now, here's a guy who was previously dead. I'm talking dead, as in he was up there ready to go through the gates of heaven kind of dead. But then Jesus raised him from the dead, and I'm not sure how you can really top that. Well, we'll find out in a couple of weeks. And so then there is this delicious dinner that has been prepared. Now, you know it's delicious because it's prepared by Martha, because she's not going to have it done any other way, right? And then you got Sister Mary. There's Sister Mary, and she's a faithful disciple, anointing the feet of Jesus with this extremely expensive perfume. We're talking it was worth a year's wages. A year's wages. That's expensive, right? And then to go even further, Here's Mary, and without even speaking, she then wipes Jesus' feet dry with her hair. As Jason Blackwell might say, scandalous, right? And then Judas pulls a love makes you do crazy things kind of moment by berating Mary for her kind and generous act of devotion. And so, which we learn as an aside, that Judas, the unfaithful disciple, well, he's going to betray Jesus as well as, oh my goodness, he's also a thief. Jesus not only tells Judas, leave Mary alone, but then he shares with the entire room. He says this to the entire room, not just to one person, the entire room. And he says, this perfume was to be used in preparation for my burial. And this is how she has used it. Now, this is a not so subtle hint that Jesus is saying, you know what, my trip to Jerusalem is one way only. Now, and then, like at the beginning, now we're turning all the way back to Lazarus. And so Lazarus, at the end of the scripture passage, is an old, because the chief priests, they have decided, this Jesus has got to go, we've got to kill him. But not only that, they want his dear friend Lazarus to see his way back to heaven post-haste, because this Jesus is bad for business. Murder, love, and mayhem. Throwing a little nosh in for good measure. It's like a reality show gospel. We got outwit, outplay, outlast, like the TV series Survivor, right? Fortunately for us, no one can outwit, outplay, or outlast the triune, God, Jesus, and Spirit. Amen? Yes. So in all that I've shared in the telling of this dinner party that no one's ever going to forget, there's loads of gems throughout this whole scripture passage. Loads of gems. But like I was telling you, I was in Texas and I kept looking at this scripture passage and my attention kept going to six specific words being drawn to this, these words that were spoken by Jesus. But you won't always have me. But you won't always have me. Now, earlier in the gospel, according to John, and we go to chapter 10, here's Jesus, and he's speaking to Jewish leaders, Pharisees, and the like, and he tells them, and you see, they can't truly comprehend really his true meaning behind his words, but Jesus says that he's going to lay down his life for his people, not because he's told to do so or asked to do so, it's because he chooses to do so. And so, and is to give of himself. And so these verses are in John 10, verses 17 and 18, and they state, this is why the Father loves me. I give up my life so that I can take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I give it up because I want to. I have the right to give it up, and I have the right to take it up again. I receive this commandment from my Father. And of all the folks to comprehend this, now you would think all the folks to comprehend this, you're going to sit there and probably go, well, it should be Peter and the disciples, right? Should be those guys. And yet they don't. They don't have a clue. Or at least they don't have their willingness to understand. However, you won't always have me. The death of their master and Messiah has already been comprehended and accepted by a female disciple. Get that. A female disciple. Mary of Bethany. And she's the one who's connected the dots. She's the one that has made this love-heart connection with Jesus. She's the one demonstrating and understanding what the priorities are. She being the first to embody the love that is commanded of all disciples in the midst of a world of betrayal and treachery. Friends, this is a magnificent act of witness with a fragrance's love action. Risky? Yeah. Extravagant? Totally. Right? Totally extravagant. Year's worth of wages. Nevertheless, for Mary, in the seizing of this moment. That's what she did, is she seized this moment. She knew the odds of a relational you and me, Jesus, next time were minuscule. In fact, she realized it was now or never. And all that brought back to memory something that I remember long ago that was written by the late Scottish theologian William Barclay, and I'll read this. And it's, he once said, there is one great truth about life. Some things we can do almost any time, but some things we will never do unless we grasp the chance when it comes. We are seized with the desire to do something that's fine and generous and big-hearted, but we put it off. We do it tomorrow. And the fine impulse goes, and then the thing is never done. Life is an uncertain thing. We think to utter some word of thanks or praise or love, but we put it off, and often the word is never spoken. Life is an uncertain thing. And here's Jesus speaking words that no one wanted to hear. No one wanted to admit that he wasn't going to always be around. You won't always have me. And what he was doing was he was trying to prepare his beloved companions for his death. And except for Mary, they're not having it. Yet when we take all this in, what Jesus is asking, it's a reminder to us of the fragility of life. Now I'm going to put this out there, that we might be thinking to ourselves, you know, if I'd have been at that dinner table, well, I would have taken Jesus at his word. Absolutely, I'd have taken him at his word. I'd have been right there with Mary. Really? Would you have been right there with Mary? Or maybe you would have cringed uncomfortably at the dinner table when there's talk of death. Who likes hearing about death at the dinner table, right? Or maybe you would have gone in a different direction and given Jesus a pep talk. Come on, Jesus, you're the Messiah. I mean, you're not going to die. Come on. Who are you kidding? Or you might have said there, stay strong, Jesus. Come on now, you can stay strong. Here's a serious question for us to ponder. What if we stopped denying the limited nature of our lives and breathed in deeply the fragrance of vulnerability? And we'll say that one again. What if we stopped denying the limited nature of our lives and breathed in deeply the fragrance of vulnerability? As professor and author Dr. Marcia McPhee says, fragility is not only okay, it is also necessary to know and respect our own limited nature, our vulnerability to the forces of life, and we are able then to see and be with those who are hurting. And friends, that those who are hurting part encompasses all, and that includes us. Each one of us who suffer in mind, body, and spirit as we tend and we nurture and we care for those for whom deaths, and understand that's deaths of many kinds that are near, like jobs ending or moves to another city or the loss of your home. Right? Loss of your home, those living on the streets, marriages may be crumbling, the loss of friendships, they're just blowing up, the passing of loved ones, a two-year COVID pandemic, right? Those who are being deeply affected by this horrific war in the Ukraine, yes? And when we take in these deaths of many kinds into account, that they each have one thing in common, change. Change. We're required to deal with change, like it or not. And these deaths of many kinds also have two simultaneous truths. Two truths. One is something is ending, and the second one is it happens every day. Now, there might be some who might be, you might be thinking this, you might be going, well, all right, now, Pastor Mark, what about faith? I mean, come on. Come on, shouldn't we just have faith? And my reply to everyone would be something along this line: as Christians, let's not see faith through rose-colored glasses. We can't do that because our faith doesn't guarantee us pleasantry only from this day forward. What we do is we have and live in a world where people, you, me, and everyone, we all struggle. We all get sick at some point in time. We are betrayed at some point in time. We're lonely or we're scared. We can't out-eat, we can't out-learn, and we can't outperform our humanness. It's a reality show. It's a reality show. Where everything, you know, everything's going along fine, and then suddenly, it isn't, right? And in this life in which we have, and it's full of hope, but it's also got some despair, and then everything that's in between. We need each other. We need one another. That is the key. So when I'm reflecting back on these words that from Jesus when he said, you won't always have me, I'm then drawn back to Mary's act of love and devotion, loving and serving this Jesus without reservation. Think about that, without reservation in the here and now. And in doing this, she was respecting her own limited human nature, our vulnerability to the forces of life, able to, and this is what I really thought about, is that she instinctively understood something that others didn't. That she understood Jesus was actually hurting. She may not have seen that on the outside, but she got into the inside. She got into the inside understanding Jesus was hurting right here, right? Because he knew that the cross was in his future. Mary showed us what she truly valued in life. Actually, who? But in the what of the equation here, the value equation, money and things, for Mary, they were of little importance. She could care less about power. It wasn't for her, not for Judas. But for Mary, what mattered to her was the one whom she loved, and there was no price tag on that. Mary embodied the words by Dr. Albert Schweitzer when he said, if you own something, you can't give it away, then you don't own it. It owns you. Which ties into a verse that comes from Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I want to share something with you. I was also thinking about this when I was in Texas that this is a very personal story that I'm going to share with you, something that's very meaningful to me. In December of 1998, now this is right after Christmas, I was in Texas. I had just celebrated Christmas with my family. I had come back over here into Los Angeles, and something was grabbing a hold of my heart. Something was intensely just on my heart. I would call it spirit. Spirit was telling me that it was imperative that I go visit my adopted grandmother, Amanda Allen. So my adopted grandmother, and so she lived in Plainview, Texas, and this is 1,000 miles away, 1,000 miles from here. And I didn't know why. I didn't know why I felt this call on my heart. I just was like, really? What's going on? But it was repeated, and it was so strong that I couldn't ignore it, and I chose not to ignore it. So before going through with this visit, I decided, you know what, I'm going to pick up the phone. I'm going to call. Back in the day, we picked up a phone. So I picked up the phone. I called Mandy, and I said, hey, Mandy, would you like me to come see you? And she said, absolutely. I was like, oh, okay, all right. And then I spoke to my parents, and I gave them a heads up because this had been right after Christmas. This was now in January. I told them what I was doing, and their response was something along this line. Are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? You don't have the money to spend to go on, get a plane ticket and spend a few days with her. And also, you're going to use more vacation time. You know, all these excuses, right, building up. And I just said, look, you know what? I understand where you're coming from. I got your concern, but I'm telling you, God has told me to do this, and I'm not going to choose to ignore this. I'm going. So off I went. I took this flight. It was mid-January, and I spent 3 wonderful days with my adopted grandmother. And you have to understand this, that we adopted each other. We weren't blood, but she held me as a baby. She was one of the first persons to hold me as a baby, and she loved me from that day forward. That's the kind of connection that we had, this heart connection. So I'm there, and nothing is made of this visit. Absolutely nothing. I get no clarity as to why it is that I'm there. Nothing. There's no hint, no clue. And however, Mandy, when I got there, she, and in fact, I remember this, is that the nurse, when she came up to see me and I was signing in, she said, she is so looking forward to seeing you. And I was like, that's great. Oh, awesome. And so, and then Mandy, when she sees me, she just told me how much she loved me. She said it was so important that I was there. And I remember on the third day as I was leaving, and these were my concluding words, I said something along the lines of, I love you so much, Mandy, and I'll see you soon. And she said, I love you so much, Mark, and indeed you will see me soon. 2 weeks later, Mandy died. 2 weeks later. And I get a phone call from her daughter, Betty. And Betty, she said to me, she said, Mark, we were wondering how she made it this long. And I was like, what are you talking about? And they said, before Christmas, they told us that she would pass away. And we had all paid our last visits to see her. But when she found out that you were coming, she said, I have one more visitor I have to see before I go to meet God. She didn't tell me that. But that's what Betty told me. And she said, we wondered why it was, and now she's in heaven, having seen you. She was able to let go. You know, I didn't know that. And Mandy had not said one word to me. She gave me no clue, yet Spirit did. Spirit made that heart-head connection for me. And I listened. I fortunately didn't put off that moment. But I seized it. I grasped that moment and that chance when it came. Loving someone without reservation. And I'm telling you, there was and there is no price tag for that kind of love. You see, faith community, our faith is the promise that we will learn something about a great mystery. How we can be loved and be saved and be changed by a God who shows us what it means to be human. Friends, we have been gifted with the glory of a beautifully delicate life, gifted by the divine Creator who gives us everlasting life through Jesus. And with these gifts, I've got a question for you, is what values, worthy and true, do we carry forward? What values do we carry forward, values and priorities like Mary had? As Mother Teresa reminds us, yesterday is gone. Tomorrow has not yet come. We have only today. Let us begin. So let us begin by valuing and practicing what it takes to go into a deeper life with Jesus. We need one another to nourish our lives, to work in the garden, to tending to people and relationships, tilling and spreading compassion and justice, embracing love and forgiveness and hope and mercy and love, beauty. Let us begin by tending to our souls in a loving way so that we're not caught up in the busyness of life. How easy is that to do? Is this kid all caught up in the busyness of life? That which distracts us from actually being in the garden, distracting us from what really matters in our fragile lives. You see, life comes to us one day at a time. One day at a time. There is no promise of tomorrow, and that's how we should live it. Live it large, with awareness, identifying what truly matters, what it is to have in our lives, but also giving thanks each and every day with glorious praise to God. Let us love without reservation, what God places in front of us in the here and the now. Let us love our siblings who call the streets their home by signing a petition for more affordable housing, right? And we have the opportunity to do that after worship. That'll be at the hospitality table. Let us support the humanitarian response to UMCOR, that is the United Methodist Committee on Relief, and I've put into the chairs these opportunities, more information about that, and how we can support those who are remaining currently in the Ukraine, as well as the millions who have fled the violence. Let us be a witness of Christ's affirming love to all, all, but also to the community here in Toluca Lake and these surrounding neighborhoods, because you know what? We got a lot going on. There is lots of opportunity here each and every Sunday, and it is upon us to invite. It is upon us to participate. It is upon us to proclaim and to praise and to share and to welcome, right? And Easter is a big day. Easter is a big day to share with this community about all the things that are happening. That Easter egg hunt and that scavenger hunt and all those fun activities. Let us step into rebuilding, rebuilding our community of faith here at Harmony. Let us give thanks for the gift of live streaming, right? We got the live streaming, and that is a wonderful gift. Yet the in-person ministries of the church need your presence. We need you as you're comfortable in doing so, especially as we begin to expand on campus, what's been happening with Harmony Kids and more efforts like this, like with Gaddison and that all-in worship service, right? We need one another to be in the garden of harmony. And as Rev. Dave Bungie now joins us and he comes forward, he's going to lead us in the sacrament of Holy Communion. And let us be grateful for the gifts of life that we have been given, that love. Let us see the beauty and necessity of being together. And as we prepare to gather around and come to the table which Jesus has set for us, let us walk with Christ towards the holiest of weeks. Amen. Amen. Rev. Dave.
Thank you, Pastor Mark, for that reminder and that affirmation. And the charge that this sacrament can mean so much to us. We are inviting you to participate in the Lord's Supper, and it is the Lord's Supper. And Jesus invites all of us, no restrictions, no limitations, anybody who is open to receiving what might happen through Christ's love for you is welcome to partake in communion. The manner in which we'll do it is we invite you to come down one side and take one of these cups and then take it down the other side and to your seat. And these are kind of complicated. the top clear layer reveals the wafer, and then the purple aluminum lid peel off for the juice. So I invite you to partake of that. As we prepare, I want you to realize how valuable this moment is. Pastor Mark cited the words where Jesus, those six words where he said, you will not always have me. And I think he meant to say in person. Not always have me in person, because just a few days later, he consecrated the elements of the table as a means of having him in us, with us, through us, throughout our lives. And that's what this is about. And you think about what he went through. He's talking about body and blood, real substances stuff. Jesus was being as vulnerable as anybody can get. And I appreciate the phrase that Pastor Mark used about our beautifully delicate lives. This is a way of Jesus affirming that delicacy, that kind of touching us, being aware that, you know, we've got stories and we've got tribulations and we've got worries nobody really knows but Jesus. And he comes into our lives to affirm that, to care for that. We are delicate. Jesus was delicate in this moment, and he realizes our delicateness and invites us to affirm that ourselves, that we might be one with him, and that we might build on that substance and courage he gives us to be those who are aware of the delicateness of others' lives and minister to that. The word of hope, the word of affirmation, what Mary did, the anointing of another. Anointing could be, in so many ways, that affirmation, that greeting, that phone call, that phone call. That's what we're able to do as we come to terms with, as we acknowledge our own vulnerability, as Jesus gives us his vulnerability and the substance by which to carry that each day in our life with him. And so knowing all that, Jesus gathered, as he was gathered at his Last Supper with his disciples. Well, thank you. He took the common bread that was on the table, and he made it more than common. He took it and he gave thanks for it. He broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body." Vulnerable. "This is my body given for you, that you might know new life through it." In similar fashion, he took the cup that was on the table, and he gave thanks for it. And he gave it to his disciples, and saying, "This is for the forgiveness of sin for you and for many. As often as you drink of this cup, remember me." And I would say, remember me so that this delicacy that you are may be affirmed, that you may be able to affirm it in others. After Pastor Mark and I share this communion, I invite you to come and take your own serving of the bread and the cup that you might share in this moment. As we enter into that, I invite you to, as you are moved, to say with us the Lord's Prayer. We pray. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, that in the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.
Blessed be your name in a land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on a road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. So much for everything that you've done in us and through us today. We ask that as we leave this place that that we wouldn't leave your presence, that we would go and that we would walk in love and in power and in might. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.